Mass. The solemn introit of today's Mass shows the transport of joy wherewith the Church celebrates the feast of our holy martyr. The words and the chant which accompanies them are only used about 4 times in the year. Both words and music bespeak enthusiasm and joy, and the Church on earth is elated at the thought that she and the angels are making one choir to the praise of the victory of Thomas of Canterbury. Introit. Let us all rejoice in the Lord and celebrate this festival in honor of Blessed Thomas the Martyr, for whose martyrdom the angels rejoice and praise the Son of God. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye just, praise becometh the upright. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, Holy Church emphasizes the merit of the glorious martyr by saying that it was for the very spouse of the Son of God that he shed his blood. After this, she expresses the special confidence she has in his intercession. Collect. O God, in defense of whose church the glorious Pontiff Thomas fell by the swords of wicked men, grant, we beseech thee, that all who implore his assistance may find comfort in the grant of their petition. Commemoration of Christmas Day. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that we who groan under the old captivity of sin may be freed therefrom by the new birth of thine only begotten Son. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, Chapter 5. Brethren, every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things that appertain to God, that he may offer up gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on them that are ignorant and that err, because he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And therefore he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. Neither doth any man take the honor to himself, but he that is called by God, as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself that he might be made a high priest, but he that said to him, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. When we meet in the annals of the Church with the names of those great bishops who have been the glory of the Christian pontificate, we are at once sure that these men, the true images of the great high priest Jesus our Lord, did not intrude themselves uncalled into the dread honors of the sanctuary. The history of their lives shows us that they were called by God himself, as Aaron was. And when we come to examine how it was that they were so great, we soon find that the source of their greatness was their humility, which led them to refuse the honorable burden that others would put upon them. God assisted them in the day of trouble and trial, because their exaltation to the episcopacy had been his own work. Thus was it with St. Thomas, who sat on his episcopal throne of Canterbury, the dignified and courageous primate. He began by declining the high honor that was offered him. He boldly tells the king, as St. Gregory the VII, before ascending the papal throne, told the emperor who fain would see him pope, that if forced to accept the proffered dignity, he is determined to oppose abuses. He thought by this to frighten men from putting him into the honors and responsibilities of the pastoral charge, and hoped that they would no longer wish him to be a bishop, when they suspected that he would be a true one. But the decree of God had gone forth, and Thomas, called by God, was obliged to bow down his head and receive the holy anointing. And what a bishop he, that begins by humility and the determination to sacrifice his very life in the discharge of his duty. He is worthy to follow, and that to Calvary, the God-man, who being called by his Father to priesthood and to sacrifice, enters this world saying, "Behold, I come to do thy will, O God." Footnote Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. The gradual, in its first versicle, applies to St. Thomas the encomium given by the Sacred Scripture to Abraham. These words, which speak the praises of one who surpassed all others in merit, are singularly applicable to our illustrious martyr, whose glory exceeds that of most other holy bishops, whose memory is celebrated by the Church. The Alleluia verse repeats the words of our Savior, in which he declares himself to be the Good Shepherd. Why does the Church use them on this feast? She would thereby tell us that St. Thomas was a faithful representation of him whom St. Peter calls the Prince of Pastors. Footnote, First Letter of St. Peter, chapter 5, verse 4. Gradual. Behold a great prelate, who in his days pleased God. There was none found like him in keeping the law of the Most High. Alleluia, Alleluia. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 10. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But the hireling, and he that is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and flieth. And the wolf catcheth and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling flieth, because he is a hireling, and he hath no care for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have, that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd." All the strength of the pontiffs and pastors of the Church consists in their imitation of Jesus. It is not enough that they have in them the character of his priesthood. They must also be ready, like him, to lay down their lives for their sheep. The shepherd who thinks more of his own life than of the salvation of his flock is a hireling, not a shepherd. He loves himself and not his sheep. His flock has a claim upon his shedding his blood for them, and if he will not, he is no longer an image of the Good Shepherd, Jesus. See how calmly St. Thomas lays down his life. He bows down his head to receive the blows of his executioners, as though he were simply acquitting himself of a duty or paying a debt. After the example of Jesus, he gives his blood for the deliverance of his people. And no sooner has the sword done its work than the Church, over which God had placed him, is set free. His blood has brought peace. Footnote, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. He withstood the wolf that threatened destruction to his flock. He vanquished him. The wolf himself was turned into a lamb, for the king visited the tomb of his victim and sought in prostrate supplication the martyr's blessing. Thomas knew his sheep, That is, he loved them. It was a happiness to him, therefore, to die for them. He was made pastor on the condition that he would die for them, just as our Emmanuel was made high priest in order that he might offer sacrifice, in which, too, he was both priest and victim. Jesus' sheep know their divine shepherd. They know that he came in order to save them. Therefore is it that his birth at Bethlehem is so dear to them. The shepherd of Canterbury, too, is also known by his sheep, and therefore the feast of his triumphant martyrdom is very dear to them, not only in the century when it happened, but even now, and so will it ever be, even to the end of time. In return for this love and devotion paid him by the Church on earth, Thomas blesses her from heaven. We cannot doubt it. The wonderful return to the ancient faith which we are now witnessing in our dear England is due in no little measure to the powerful intercession of St. Thomas of Canterbury. And this intercession is the return made by our glorious martyr for that fervent and filial devotion which is shown him, and which the faithful will ever show to him, who was so heroically what only the true Church can produce, a true pastor. In the offertory, Holy Church sings of the crown of glory, wherewith Emmanuel encircled the brow of his martyr. The pastor gave his blood to purchase that crown, and his death gave him life. Offertory. Thou hast set, O Lord, on his head a crown of precious stones. He asked life of thee, and thou didst give it him. Alleluia. The secret shows us that the merits of the martyr are united with those of the divine victim. Whilst offering the blood of the Lamb to the Eternal Father, we remind him of that shed by his martyr. Secret. Sanctify, O Lord, the offerings consecrated to thee, and being appeased thereby, mercifully look upon us, by the intercession of Blessed Thomas, thy martyr and bishop. Commemoration of Christmas Day. Sanctify, O Lord, our offerings by the new birth of thine only begotten Son, and cleanse us from the stains of our sins. In the communion verse, we have our divine pastor Jesus speaking to us, the same that has just been giving himself to his sheep as their food. It is by this holy sacrament that the sheep more intimately know their shepherd, and that the shepherd, who has just been born in the house of bread, Bethlehem, receives a proof of their love to him. Communion. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. In the post-communion, the Church once more pronounces the name of our great martyr. She prays that she may obtain through his intercession the grace of receiving more fully than ever the effects of the divine mystery, which cleanses our souls and is the remedy of their infirmities. Post-communion. May this communion, O Lord, cleanse us from sin, and by the intercession of Blessed Thomas, thy martyr and bishop, make us effectually partakers of this heavenly remedy. Commemoration of Christmas Day. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that as the Savior of the world, who was born this day, procured for us a divine birth, he may also bestow on us immortality.